Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, guys. It is time for your wrestling nostalgia, and tonight is an interesting night because we're going to be talking about one of the worst angles in WWE history that took place on October 21st, 2002. So nearly 18 years ago to the day that the Katie Vick angle happened and Triple H ended up in a funeral home. Oh, yeah, it gets really, really bad. Almost so bad that it's good, but we're going to dive into everything right now.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Alrighty, everybody, and it is time. It is time for that wrestling nostalgia that we all wait for every week. I know I do. I know I do, because it takes you away from the current product, the frustrations of the current product. In most cases, every wrestling nostalgia is a fond memory. Most cases, it is something that makes me happy, makes me smile. And tonight's a little different. And tonight is not one that makes me angry, but one that makes me cringe, kind of laugh, but mostly make me feel sad. And the absolute absurdity of this angle is probably has yet to be matched. The absurdity of this Katie Vick angle, if you have not heard of it, if you're relatively new to wrestling, meaning like in the last 5 to 10 years, I still consider that relatively new, you may or may not have heard of the Katie Vick angle. And if you haven't, I offer a word or a, yeah, really a word of caution to you if you're going to go hunt this down on YouTube. Because if I talk about it and you don't know what it is, you probably will go watch it. If you have seen it and you want to be a glutton for punishment, this is certainly one that you can go look at again. You know, I watch this angle again on YouTube and it is just as bad as you remember. You know, and it almost approaches so bad that it's good, if that makes sense. Sometimes things are so bad that they're good, and they're not intentionally supposed to be bad, which makes them almost good. But this is not one of those things. I just wanted to talk about it tonight because it's funny. It's really something we can laugh at now. It's not something I'm angry about or the logic all that. I mean, the logic is out the window to begin with. It's just absolute absurdity from the mind of Vince McMahon and borderlines on rated R, really rated R TV. This is beyond TV 14. You got to remember, this took place in October of 2002. We were fresh into the Ruthless Aggression era, just out of the Attitude era. There's still kind of that overlap. And this was between Kane and between Triple H. And it was absolutely ridiculous. Yes, the logic. I guess we'll talk it a little bit about that, but it's hard to talk about logic with something that has absolutely zero to it. So I remember watching this in real time at, my God, how old was I in 2002? I was 17 years old, and even my 17-year-old brain goes, huh? what? And it just, it all culminated with the the whole Triple H in a funeral home angle. And that actually is, it's one of the most vulgar scenes in WWE history. Yes, we can talk about Edge and Lita, their live sex celebration. That was on the top five list, too, of most people's unbelievable moments of WWE TV, really pushing the envelope. But this one is, might be the most controversial that WWE has done. Yes, there's also the Brian Pillman angle, that he's got a gun. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this happened. I think that was back in 96, just prior to the Attitude Era, where WWE was getting edgy and Stone Cold was just becoming Stone Cold. So if you don't know what that is, Brian Pillman has a gun. Hey, go look that one up on YouTube. That is a much more, that's a much more serious angle than this. This was just absurd. That one was pushing the lines of a little too serious. I mean, you don't bring guns to pro wrestling. It's just never a good idea to do. But that's not what we're here talking about. We're here to talk about Kane and Triple H and Katie Vick, the infamous Katie Vick. Any wrestling fan that has watched WWE for, again, through the Attitude Era and through Ruthless Aggression, you mention those two words and they will immediately either say, oh my God, or they'll just shake their head and sigh. I mean, there's one of two reactions. There's nothing in the middle. You will not find a single person on this earth that enjoyed the Katie Vick angle beyond its just, its novelty of being terrible. In other words, if you enjoyed it because it was terrible, then you didn't really enjoy it for what it was meant to be. So, again, most people will just either sigh and shake their head or say, oh my God, something along those lines. So we're going to get into all of that. I'm very excited to talk about this one tonight because it's a much different wrestling nostalgia than most of my other ones, where I talk about my favorite matches or moments, things that give me chills, great moments. This is probably the most unique nostalgia I've done, simply for the fact that it is one of the most terrible moments in WWE history, yet one of the most magnificently awful moments. I can't describe it any better than that. It's like driving by a car accident and you can't look away. You're curious, but once you see it, you can't unsee it and you wish you didn't see it. It's one of those deals. So prepare yourselves. Things are going to get fun real quick here. But first, thank you everyone for joining us. I'm glad that you have stuck with us and our numbers continue to grow. We're slowly climbing up the charts, aiming for that top 10 of wrestling podcasts in Apple Podcasts in their category. Not an easy feat to climb and achieve, but we're working on it. We'll get there. Thank you so much for everybody who's making this happen. And you can email the show if you have suggestions or comments at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter. I'm back on Twitter in a much more limited capacity, given I had like 45,000 followers and now I've got about 30, thanks to Twitter just completely killing my other account. So I got to start from scratch again. So that is wrestling_audio. That's a wrestling little underscore thing. And then audio. That's what I'm at if you want to follow me. I do tweet things out on a daily basis for the most part. So hit me up there. You can also reach out to the show via voicemail. If those of you who would rather call in than type, it's 518-952-0247. So that's how you call in. And we do have a couple of voicemails that we will get to in just a minute. But first, if you didn't know that we have a collaboration with The Botch Guy, well, now you know. The Botch Guy is a great YouTube channel that has just very quick videos on Raw or SmackDown or NXT or AEW moments, even where it just the host talks about moments that obviously are botches, but also really great moments or getting excited about something that happens. Very, very addictive in terms of his playlist. If you go and watch one of his videos, I guarantee you'll start watching at least 5-6 more. I mean, it's just, he's got a very magnetic personality. And he'll be joining us on this show for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view review. So keep that in mind. And also subscribe to his channel if you haven't already on YouTube. All right. Let's get to the voicemails. And then we're going to dive into, I can't believe I'm saying this, Katie Vick. You know, when I started my day today, I did not think I'd be doing Katie Vick. I had a bunch of other things in mind. And no one's requested this. Nobody has ever sent to me, you got to do Katie Vick. Never. So this could be the complete bomb of a show where people just go, oh my God, he's covering what? Or people could love it and get a different feel for wrestling nostalgia other than just great moments. Everything doesn't have to be great moments. It can also throw in a big old stinker, a big old turd once in a while. And that's what tonight's is. So, all right, let's get to those voicemails and then we'll get into the Katie Vick angle.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, it's Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. I wanted to talk about Sasha and Bayley inside the cell. I hope that when Sasha wins the championship, for her to keep the championship when she retains, when she defends it. I'm tired of her always losing it every time she defends it. So when she wins it, that's why I kind of wanted her to win a title on SmackDown so that she can have a successful title defense at Hell in a Cell, but it'll happen at Hell in a Cell when that is over with her to keep the championship. But that was it. Thanks for my call. Bye.
Hey, Kyle, thanks again for your voicemail. Yeah, lots of speculation about Bayley and Sasha heading into Hell in a Cell. I think that Sasha doesn't take the championship away from Bayley on the first try. Yes, it's inside Hell in a Cell. Yes, Hell in a Cell should be designed for the blow-off, but it's just built into the schedule, and it happens to be their first encounter. I don't count their SmackDown encounter first, because their SmackDown encounter was nonsensical, and it made... no sense involved in that, because you don't have a match that you've built for months and months and months and months get started in a actual match in SmackDown. Like, that should have been something Bayley avoids, something that Bayley runs from, and instead they just had a match on SmackDown. Yeah, Bayley got disqualified intentionally, and that brought them to the cell. This, to me, is their first true match at Hell in a Cell, so that's where I'm going to start. I don't think Bayley captures it, or Sasha captures the belt, and I don't think she should yet. Because I want a journey. I want to be taken on a ride, as Vince McMahon would say. Take the fans on a ride. Yeah, well, I actually do. I want to be taken for a ride on this because they've done a nice job building it. And I think it exceeded most people's expectations of how the angle would play out. And they certainly strung it as long as they could. And yes, I'm disappointed it couldn't be in front of real fans. But we don't know when the hell that's going to be. So the next best thing is to just kind of play it out. Blow it off. And... you're right, Kyle. I think that Sasha retaining a championship in a defense of one would be a story. It's not just having Sasha capture the championship, which is important, and I think she eventually will. I think we all believe that. It's the right move. It's just the next story is, can Sasha defend it successfully? Because she has never, ever successfully defended a Raw and or SmackDown Women's Championship ever. So that is part two of the story. And maybe she doesn't. Maybe it gets back to Bayley, right? This could be disastrous in terms of hot potato. I hope it's not. I hope that after Sasha gets it, finally beats Bayley, pays her back, beats her down senselessly, tries to snap her neck, maybe succeeds, of course, just putting the chair around her neck, not actually doing it, and then successfully defends it. They both move their separate ways. I don't need this strung out to WrestleMania like some people have speculated and or hope for. I don't think it's possible to do it that long. It's just not going to happen. If this was December or January, I'd say, okay, yeah, this could easily be strung to WrestleMania. It's still the middle of October. I mean, we've got a long way to WrestleMania. So I don't think that they could string it to WrestleMania. Unless it's just a two-month thing now. They take a break for 2 months and then they come back for WrestleMania season where they end up facing each other anyway. I mean, that could work. But as it stands, the current string of story, you can't get it to WrestleMania. I'll be floored if they do. All right, thanks, Kyle. Let's get to the next voicemail.
Good morning. I like that word. You give me credit for something I did. WWE, number one. NXT, number one. It's still Will from Wichita, Kansas. I would like to see Sting and Larry Sabisco. They'll never show them no more on WWE. Roman Reigns, I would like to see Roman Reigns like a super champion match. Roman Reigns and the heavyweight champion of the NXT, I think that is Cole, the heavyweight champion of the NXT, versus Drew McIntyre, the heavyweight champion of Raw, and Roman Reigns versus Roman Reigns, the heavyweight champion of SmackDown. That would be a good match, and call it Super Champion. One that wins walks away with all the gold, all the money. And the person who walks away is the big dog, number one, the main eventer, Roman Reigns. And Ricochet, I wish Bobby Lashley, MVP, and I wish the Hurt Business would leave him alone so they could move on. They need to split up the Hurt Business. Thank you.
All right, so thanks so much for calling in. I didn't get your name. I feel awful. Maybe I didn't hear it at the beginning. But call back, feel free. I like your idea about perhaps doing a champion versus champion from, you know, bigger, from each brand, like NXT versus the SmackDown champion or Raw versus the SmackDown champion. I have no problem with that. And they may even do that at Survivor Series because, as they like to say, that's the one time a year that SmackDown and Raw go head to head, which is a whole bunch of nonsense. But if they're ever going to do a champion versus champion match from inner brand stars, can we make it a unification match? Because I just think there's too many titles floating around as it is. Just have one. And again, they're never going to do this. And I know why, because they're separate brands. I understand. But the champions should be able to float from brand to brand if they want. But one heavyweight champion, one tag team champion, one women's champion, one intercontinental, okay, one United States. I mean, if you're going to pick one, I choose IC. Obviously, has more lineage. And that's it. And 24/7 championship gets thrown in the dumpster and just pour gasoline on it, and we can all go home happy. I mean, literally light it on fire, because no one cares about the 24/7 title. That R-Truth is a 42-time champion. That died about, you know, a year ago. It's long past the shelf life. But I do like the idea, if you're going to do champion versus champion like you proposed, that we unify some of these belts. And again, I don't think WWE will do that. They are big fans of championship matches as it is. They give it out like it's the first thing you get when you walk in the door of WWE. I mean, it's absurd how many championship matches happen. When you think about it, if WWE would stop giving away so many championship matches, and yes, they even give them away on Raw and SmackDown, and just in general, as a whole, I don't care what title we're talking about outside of the silly 24/7 title, any other normal championship, I think as a whole, WWE is giving away title opportunities way too often to too many people too easily. It's happening way too much. And again, the methodology of how people get opportunities, we all know that. We all know, I mean, I'm not going to repeat how it happens. We all know. I rant about it almost every show, so I'm not going to do it here. But it's a problem as an industry, I think. Yes, it's specific to WWE, mostly. But you see a little bit of it in AEW, how easily sometimes, championship opportunities are given. And how often they happen, especially on free TV. Wouldn't you want to maybe subscribe to the network if you only were able to see the opportunity of a championship being defended on the network? Instead of just having them, I mean, how often have we seen tag team title matches on both brands happen on free TV? Why are we just so passive about championship matches happening. It's almost as a standard match. You almost just go, oh, that's probably for the title. Instead of going, oh my God, that's for the title. Or the championships. You don't say title, Vince. I know. It's one of Vince's banned words a while ago. You don't say title. You say championship. Whatever. But, you know, I was thinking about that today. Like, how many opportunities do people get? And how many championship matches do we see on a regular basis? They've become commonplace. Does anybody else have a problem with this? I don't know. I mean, maybe you don't because you like title opportunities, but the more you see it, the less it's worth.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Title opportunities, title matches, championship matches, if I'm going to speak correctly, should happen few and far between. They should feel like a big deal. Instead of championship opportunities, championship matches, they just happen every single show. Look at this past week. Title opportunities on SmackDown and Raw. Tag team titles. This coming Friday, Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Their top championship. With no explanation how Braun Strowman got it or earned it. Other than just, oh, he's Braun Strowman. Apparently that's the solution. That's the narrative. It's being on SmackDown. Like, what? It makes no sense. And you're really kind of screwing yourself because you're giving it away on free TV. And it doesn't make it feel special on pay-per-view as much as it probably should. Remember back in the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era? And I know people, oh my God, everything has to be compared to the Attitude Era. No, it doesn't. Because, yes, the Attitude Era was really good, but it had some flaws. If I took my 35-year-old mind of now really understanding the business more than I have when I first watched it, obviously, I would have a lot of things to say. Yes, a lot of good. I mean, you had some massive stars. You had an all-star list back in the Attitude Era. But I would have a lot of problems with some of the logic they did in the Attitude Era. Some of the things that just made no sense. But things were so damn good and so hot that you didn't care as much. And then when things aren't as hot, you don't have stars nearly to the level that were back in the, even in the Ruthless Aggression Era, it becomes more obvious. It's a more glaring problem for WWE. So, but you did, my point is, you didn't have championship matches happen a whole lot on Raw or SmackDown back in from 98 to 2005. It just didn't happen as much. It happened, and you had big opportunities or big matches and title changes, but it felt special when it was there. You're like, oh my God, we're getting a championship match on Raw or SmackDown? This is actually happening? Remember how it used to feel? Now it's just, you don't even think twice. You don't second guess. It's just expected that it's for the championship. So I was thinking about that today. I can't believe I've never really even had that thought until today. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a problem. At least in my eyes. Maybe you guys feel different. If you do, hey, send me a voicemail, please. I'd love to hear your opinions. And even if you oppose my opinion, that's fine. That's great. That's what this is for. This is a platform to exchange ideas. Opposing ideas are welcome. Please, really. I mean, if you agree, great too. That's fine. I'm not discouraging you, but I'm not going to tell people. Some people are shy and don't want to call in because, maybe I want to, I feel like I should agree with everything. No. Please. I'm not saying we should have a fight, but I'm saying, please. I think it's good for listeners to hear an opposing opinion. All right. Let's get to the infamous Katie Vick storyline. All right. So, let's put ourselves back in the time machine on October of 2002. What were you doing? Where were you living? Were you in school? Well, in WWE land, here's what happened. Oh, boy. Okay, so on October 21st, 2002, that was the episode that was the infamous part where Triple H entered a casket and did things to a mannequin. That is the crux of the whole thing that was just terrible from the beginning. And here's how it started. Triple H attacked the Hurricane, who was Kane's partner backstage. And Kane was left to defend the tag team championships all by himself. At that point, Triple H revealed that he knew Kane's secret and that he asked the latter if the name Katie Vick sounded familiar. And then the following week on Raw, Kane revealed who Katie Vick was. He said that she died from a car accident. He wasn't responsible for her death. And then Triple H said that the whole story was not being told, and said that Kane was drinking excessively as well. And he also said that Kane was in love with her, but she didn't have the same feelings towards Kane. Triple H then played a clip of himself. Oh, God. Dressed in Kane's mask, having sex with Katie Vick, a mannequin, inside a casket. Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's, instead of me dictating this to you, I've got a little bit of audio. So let's get to that moment of Kane, which is played by Triple H, at Katie Vick's casket.
Far, if you'd just let me touch your beautiful breasts, then I wouldn't have swerved and gone off the road, and you would still be alive. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Don't. No. No. You would too. You would still be alive, and it's your fault. That's right. That's right. It is your fault, and you know it. Because I loved you, Katie. And you didn't love me when you were alive. Because I was some burnt up freak. What's that? Really? Now that you're dead, you want me?
So it gets worse. It gets worse from there. Certainly, if you guys have seen this, it gets really bad. From there, Triple H does end up getting in the casket. And, well, take a listen.
I hope that was as good for you as it was for me. What's that? I did? You're kidding me. I really did? I did? Oh, my God. I really did it. I really did. I screwed your brains out.
So I don't know whether to cringe or laugh. It's a very weird feeling. Triple H had a pile of like brains in his hand after he had sex with a mannequin in the funeral home, which was a real funeral home, by the way. And there was an actual funeral, a real funeral going on in the next room. That's a true story. Paul Bearer, Piercy Pringle, who had revealed that many years later, told that story, that there was actually a funeral, a real one going on in the very next room. So that makes this even worse or funny, depending on your humor. I mean, if you got a really dark sense of humor, you're probably enjoying this for just how terrible it is. But having Triple H stand there and saying he finally screwed her brains out, holding a pile of, like, you know, obviously not real brain. It comes straight from the mind of Vince. You could see him probably behind the scenes just gagging, laughing at this while the crowd is just like, huh? And the crowd did laugh when he said that, but it was still really looked at and still is today as one of the worst angles in history. And they have alluded to it at times, especially Triple H when he comes out, and a lot of times he'll reference the Katie Vick thing as kind of like a wink and nod to say, hey, it was terrible. And just think about this, though. Think about if this happened today. Think about this angle in 2020. If out of nowhere WWE produces this angle, it might be national news. Really. Yes, they would lose a ton of sponsors, no question. I mean, right off the bat. But imagine the explosion on social media. Explosion. Actually, I think ratings would go through the roof for a short period of time. I mean, like triple or quadruple. But it probably, or I know it's not worth that massive spike in viewership, but just imagine it, the outrage. Just think about that. This is only 18 years ago.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Just the insanity of this. And you know what? It kind of did hurt Kane, who was getting on a roll in 2002. Coming into his own, having good matches. He had kind of broken down from that super dark, always dark character. And he was having good matches. He was, I think, one of the better underutilized babyfaces in the history of the company. Kane, to me, was a guy that never got a fair shake. I think I talked about that in a couple months ago on a nostalgia show, that Kane never really, I think, got a fair shake at a long run as champion, whether heel or face. He could play both very well. Kane was very versatile. And I was a big fan. I've always been a big fan of Kane. And I think at that time, it hurt him as a character because he was involved in such a mess. And same with Triple H, who was still one of your top heels. He was off of Shawn Michaels. Remember, Shawn Michaels and Triple H faced off at SummerSlam, and Triple H tried to paralyze Shawn Michaels. So that happened in August. He went right into a program with Kane. This was just a crazy angle. And again, just like imagine this in 2020. Imagine this. It's crazy. And you think about all the other things that happened that WWE has done in the past that they have, that's not that long ago, like just sexualized the hell out of the women. I mean, everything was a bra and panties match. The women were just nothing more than sex objects on screen for WWE to try to appease their male demographic. And actually, I have dug up some audio that was from Jim Cornette and Paul Bearer shooting on the Katie Vick angle. I'm not going to play the whole thing. You guys can dig it up on YouTube. It doesn't have a single dislike. 92 likes, no dislikes. Just search for it. Jim Cornette and Paul Bearer shoot on the Katie Vick angle. This is the direct audio that I'm going to pull for you from YouTube. And this is from a YouTube channel called Shoot the World. So just listen to this. And I could not agree more. This is a real interview. This is not a promo. So just take a listen to what Paul Bearer has to say about this angle.
Back to my most embarrassing moment. When they done that Katie Vick angle.
Oh, God.
I have never been more ashamed to be in this business ever, ever. And I hope I'll never have to say that again as long as I live. That was the most horrible thing I've ever seen on television. It was, and what really hit, aside from that, they did it in Nashville. The people that know anything about me, I'm a big country music fan. I love country music, especially the old school country music. And I'm lucky to have some friends in country music that I've met through the years, mainly because of wrestling. And my biggest hero of all is George Jones. And anybody that knows about me knows about my love for George Jones. So through the years, I've developed a friendship with George and his wife and his family and his band. And most of them live in the Nashville area, and they have kids. And when the kids want to go to wrestling, I always fixed them up with wrestling.
Oh, but no.
I got George Jones all access passes, I go in on the buses and backstage.
Oh, my God. And
become a friend. Anyway, long story short, No, I'm cutting it short. We got plenty of time, but we got plenty to talk about. But there was a show in Nashville. That's where that was done. So I got George Jones, my best friend in the Jones Corporation. There is a guy named Tom Killen. He plays the steel guitar for George. He's been working for him now for probably about 24 years. And he's got a couple of teenage kids and stuff. And so I fixed him up the tickets and everything. And they were there when that Katie Vick angle was done.
And I was mortified. No pun intended.
I was at home watching. I called him. He wasn't there. He was on the road or something. The kids went you know, with their friends and stuff. And I just apologize. Here I am apologizing for something that I wasn't even involved in, but I'm apologizing on behalf of my business.
That you perpetrated them seeing that upon them.
I'm so sorry that your kids saw that. Because I'm sorry I seen it. Because it was the most. I don't know who wrote that. I don't. And I don't really care. You know who wrote it?
I don't have a clue who was. Nobody wants to be responsible for that.
All right, so there's part two, and I'm actually kind of interested in playing that as well. But I feel like I'm kind of cheating you guys out of a podcast if I just have long form audio from another podcast or another show. But listen to Paul Bearer in that. Paul Bearer, who's been in the business at that point for like 30 years, embarrassed to be a part of the business for that. So that's where the kind of fun stops, right? That's kind of where the fun car crash, oh, it's so bad, it's good, ends. When you have a guy of that stature and that tenure and that much respect in the business, talk about how embarrassing it is. Yeah, I could see that part of it. So again, this is the other side of it. As much as we may laugh at it, it's one of those, if you have friends that aren't wrestling fans, just as Paul Bearer did, he had tickets for a couple of young teenagers, and they saw this for the first time, and imagine being introduced to wrestling seeing Katie Vick. Imagine that. Imagine being introduced, at least in your first live event, to Katie Vick. I feel bad for Paul Bearer in that segment. Oh my God, I can feel the embarrassment. When you as a wrestling fan are embarrassed of what you're watching, I can't imagine what it's like if you try to get somebody into wrestling or just introduce them to it and you see something as just god-awful as that on their very first try. It would be confirming everything that they have heard about wrestling. It's so fake, it's ridiculous, it's not believable, it's so produced. It would be all of the above wrapped into one. And it was god awful. It was. And again, we're looking at it from an actual perspective of, did this further the angle? Did this help either guy? Did this do anything to help anyone? The answer is no across the board. So actually, let me play part two. If it's too long, I'll stop it. But I'm interested, which I'm getting a hunch that maybe you are. So let's take a listen to what Paul Bearer had to say, and Jim Cornette, of course, the infamous Jim Cornette, on this Katie Vick angle.
But anybody who was involved in any way with it, I don't know what in the heck they were thinking. I don't know who would ever think anybody would want to see that. I still watched the TV shows at that point. And was watching that night, I think in the bedroom, somebody help me, was I, yeah, well, sure was. And I saw that, I was like, this could possibly be a business killer here. This could be the end of, you know.
It was just the most disgusting thing that I've ever seen associated with a business. In fact, there's a new book that was just released, a so-called unauthorized story of Kane and his family. And of course, me being involved in that and all that. So I got the book, and I have everybody's book. I love the books. I can't wait to read yours. And I got the book. This has been just a couple weeks ago, and I sat down, and I'm going to check it out, you know. So I opened the first page, on the very first page. As soon as you open the cover, the very first page, the first line is the Katie Vick. Start talking about Katie Vick.
Oh, God.
I took the damn thing, I closed it, and I threw it across the room. My wife, Diane, says, well, what's the problem? I says, Katie Vick. So you're going to throw it in the trash. I'm not
going to
read it, you know.
So, all right, I'll stop with the audio there. But boy, oh boy, Paul Bearer, I keep wanting to say Paul Heyman, is absolutely ashamed, or was absolutely ashamed of, to be a part and be associated with the business, the company that produced a segment like that. And it all came from Vince McMahon. Does anybody have any other idea or any other hunch that it came from anywhere else? I don't know why Paul Bearer has such a problem figuring out who was responsible for that. It's the letters of VKM, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. You don't have to look any further than that. That's pretty much where it ends. That's your go-to man. That's your guy that did this. And Vince probably found it hilarious. You know, he still probably, to some degree, finds it hilarious. Even in his 70-year-old body, probably finds this somewhat hilarious. Because Vince McMahon's sense of humor froze at the age of 14. I've said that for many years, too. Vince McMahon's brain, for the humor that he has, seriously has frozen at the age of 14. His brain's like, oh, no, let's stop here. This is what you're going to find funny for the rest of your life. You don't believe me? Go read anything from any of the Vince McMahon stories. Finding it funny when he pushes somebody in a pool that has their clothes on, maybe their phone on them, their keys. Finds it funny when he used to invite people over to his house when they just did, I think it was him, Pat Patterson, and I don't know, one other guy, maybe Gerald Briscoe, did the creative when there wasn't a whole team. And he found it funny when he would push somebody in a pool. Maybe even Vince, I think on a Stone Cold podcast, said that. It just shows you the kind of humor. Like, I don't find that funny. I really don't. And a sense of humor is extremely subjective. I understand that. But it kind of shows you the kind of humor that he has. That it's the humor that, if it happens to you, you're super pissed off, but he finds it hilarious because of how angry you are. That is the worst kind of humor to me. So, I don't know. Again, this is all just stories, and I'm not getting the full picture, I'm sure. But, hey, this angle came from the mind of Vince McMahon, and it was terrible. I mean, if you don't believe me, just go watch. Just go, if you have the network, WWE Network, go into Raw episodes and search out October 21st. 2002, nearly exactly 18 years ago today. 18 years, actually, technically, 17 years and 51 weeks ago, that angle that happened in the funeral home with a funeral going on next door happened. And you have Jim Cornette, of course, tearing it apart, and Paul Bearer tearing it apart as well. So it was awful. And I know that a little bit later, several years later, Kane, who was in the Dr. Shelby group with Daniel Bryan, that actually the first round of it was pretty good. The second round was kind of just trying to recreate the first. But Kane talks about his history, and that he did bring up Katie Vick, which I think was fine, well done. I mean, like, I remember Kane bringing it up as part of just his history and who he was and all that kind of thing. I understand that. That's fine. I mean, you kind of bring it up in passing because everyone knows how awful it was. But for Cornette to say that it was a business killer, I don't think so. I mean, fans at that point have seen everything, right? You've seen how much bathroom humor. You think they're going to stop watching when Stone Cold and The Rock and Hulk Hogan and the NWO are now a part of WWE? Yeah, the answer is no. The answer is no. People are going to complain about it. The angle didn't last long. But it's not a business killer. I think Cornette went a little bit overboard there. It's not a business killer, but it certainly was a turnoff. Even when I was watching it, it was uncomfortable. I didn't find it funny. And this is my 17-year-old self, not my 35-year-old self. I remember thinking, like, this is just bad. Like, what? This isn't funny. This isn't achieving anything. This is hurting both guys. It's not focusing on the championship. This is just nothingness. This is nothingness other than it seems like we're in one of Vince's nightmares or dreams that is a nightmare for most of us. That's what it felt like. It was just, yeah. I'm surprised that the network didn't have some serious, serious problems with that. Boy, oh boy. So this was a fun nostalgia, guys. A little bit shorter than normal. Typically, I go an hour, but I don't want to complain for an hour because this was not one of my favorite moments, but it was a memorable moment. And I hope you guys enjoyed the Katie Vick angle, at least from an analysis perspective. You want to go back and watch and punish yourself, go ahead. But no one, to my knowledge, has ever done a full analysis, full podcast on the Katie Vick angle. I think it was deserving because of how bad it was and how memorable it was for being so bad. But tomorrow will be your NXT review. And then Friday is Rivalries with Anthony DeMarco. And then I'll be back on Sunday with your week in review as we close in on a week from Sunday being Hell in a Cell. So we're closing in quickly on yet another pay-per-view for WWE. And then after this, it's Survivor Series and TLC, and then we're back to the Rumble. Insane, right? Insane how quickly the year goes, even in pandemic time. So, alrighty, guys, if you want to hit us up, realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thewwepodcast. And hit us up on the website, wwepodcast.com. We are also having new artwork coming our way soon. The artwork you're seeing now is going to go by the wayside in the next week or so. I'm still also working on getting a new intro and that kind of thing, freshen things up. But the hosts are going to remain the same. And I hope you guys will stick with us, tell a friend, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. If you love us, give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And until then, I'll talk to you soon.